Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Saturday morning in the Delaware Valley, along with Mike Sielski, Philadelphia Inquirer columnist. I'm Glenn Mack now. So here's the deal today. We got a short show. We are preempted by college football at 11:30, so we got to get in as much as we can. We have an interview with Mike Quick coming up at 11 o'clock. We are going to remember one of the craziest, more controversial games in Eagles history. And one of my favorites.
Yeah, I know. It's right in your wheelhouse.
It is, definitely. What else? We can do a quick snapshot of the Sixers and the Flyers. I got a Phillies move that I conjured that I think is going to be good. I think you're going to like this idea.
Okay.
So we'll get to that. We have Mike's TV recommendation for the day, or more of a warning than a recommendation?
Yeah, slightly more of a warning than a rec.
Okay. And we need to cram all of this into 19 minutes and take your calls at 215-592-9494. So, Mike, let us start with the Eagles, and let us start with, I don't know if there's the big question this week. They are 9-1, but they have really not looked good over the course of the last three games. I ask you, Mike Sielski, is there anything to worry about, or are we kind of at the point where good teams go into a lull during a long season? I watched the Buffalo Bills on Thursday, mm-hmm. who nearly lost a game that they should have won, and it's happened to them. The good teams just don't always play well. Is that, which side of the coin are you on with this?
I'm more on that second side. Now, I'll put it this way, Glenn. When you ask, are there things to be worried about? I think in the modern NFL, there are always things to be worried about. I made this point, I think, on Angelo's show earlier this week. 9-1 in today's NFL is not 9-1 from 1992, because there's so much parity now that it is much more about what team is hot when the playoffs roll around. So I still feel very good about the Eagles because they're 9-1. In the modern NFL, they're 9-1 on merit. They are in a little bit of a lull here over the last couple of weeks. But I don't think it's necessarily anything to be worried about beyond the idea that once the playoffs come around, if they're not playing and firing on all cylinders, then they could get beaten based on whatever matchup materializes in the postseason.
Okay. By the way, every time they've been 9-1 in their history, they've gone on to either win the championship or get to that game. 2017, 2004, 1980, 49, 48, whatever, back in the prehistoric days.
You would remember that. I wouldn't.
I would not. Let's call Ray. Anyway, okay. So I guess I generally agree with you, and I also think that there's almost, again, I'm not trying to make people worried because it's been a great season so far, but the other thing that we saw, and I'm going to put it in baseball terms, the Phillies were not the best team in Major League Baseball this year. Mm-hmm. I think they had the 10th best record in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
They got hot at the right time. We saw that last year when the Rams got hot at the right time, when Tampa Bay got hot at the right time, and there you go. There's your Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So the trick is to be playing well in December.
Yes.
Which is the old Andy Reid axiom.
Right. You want to be peaking as the season is ending.
Right. Which we don't know right now. Okay. Who can compete with them?
I think, as kooky as it sounds, I think San Francisco would be a
that
tough
was
match,
my
matchup.
Answer. Yes,
For stylistic reasons, as much as for talent up and down the roster or coaching reasons, the way the 49ers play with that tough defense and the physical running offense is the kind of team that could give the Eagles trouble. I think now, I think the Eagles took some steps last week to improve in that regard when they got Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh, and we saw that in Indianapolis. I saw it firsthand. I was there for the game. So that helps. But just from a pure matchup standpoint, San Francisco would give me pause. I think the Cowboys, as much as they have a history of coming up short in the postseason, man, that roster's got a lot of talent.
Yeah.
You know, and their point differential.
Did you watch the Thanksgiving game?
Yeah, they weren't great.
No,
they weren't great.
They finished well, but they just seem inept. I think with Mintz coaching.
I think you're right. They have substandard
coaching.
You're right there. But again, same kind of thing. Could get hot. Their point differential, if you believe in such things, that's a true indication of how good a team really is. It's pretty substantial there. You know, but those are the two that stand out. The rest of the NFC doesn't jump out at me as anybody saying, oh, okay, well, the Eagles can't play that team. They're really, even with the caveats I just gave with respect to San Francisco and Dallas, even those teams, I wouldn't go into those games saying, oh, the Eagles are really up against it this week.
And do we agree that the Giants have been exposed as pretenders?
I've kind of long thought that they were pretenders. Yeah.
Okay.
I think Brian Daboll's doing a terrific job there.
Sure.
I am not going to hand Daniel Jones the ball with 2 minutes to go down four and have confidence that he's going to drive my team to a winning touchdown.
Okay.
I'm just not.
All right. A couple things off of last week's game before we move on to more. And you mentioned the signing of Linville Joseph and Ndamukong Suh. My God, they were great. I had no expectation that they would do anything. I mean, you know, Robert Quinn came in, and he's been the disappearing man. I certainly didn't think they'd do anything. They stepped off the plane. We unpacked their suitcase, and there they were.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys were dominant. That really helped. Is that something we can now count on moving forward?
I don't know if you can count on that level of dominance. I think what you can count on is a high enough quality of play from those guys that they can be part of the rotation.
Yeah.
So that when Jordan Davis comes back, you don't have to play the same guy over and over again. I think that's been one of the factors / complaints about Fletcher Cox is you got to get him off the field to maximize what he can do at this stage of his career now. Mm-hmm. And they just haven't been able to do that.
Yep.
Now having Joseph and Suh, Jonathan Gannon can do that, and I think that'll help.
All right, one more concern I want to bring up just for tomorrow, and then we'll take calls, 215-592-9494. Please don't misconstrue that I'm being negative about the Eagles. I'm just kind of throwing out everything. We all agree they have not played particularly well over the last 3 weeks. One of the things that I do believe is an axiom in sports is a good team wins when it doesn't play well, and they have managed to do that except against Washington. So no panic button here, but just kind of discussing the issues. A.J. Brown's been under the weather all week, had the Thanksgiving from hell with some kind of virus or bug or something. Missed practice Thursday, I think limited yesterday with that. To me, other than the quarterback and the center, I think he's the most important player on the offense, and they need him tomorrow.
Yeah, they do. They do. Because I see this game almost as a shootout. And I know that, you know, Green Bay hasn't been scoring and producing offense this season in the manner it usually does with Aaron Rodgers as its quarterback. But Rodgers always seems to play really well against the Eagles. Always, the Packers always move the ball against the Eagles with him, it seems to me. And so you're going to need A.J. Brown because I think you're going to end up going to a certain degree touchdown for touchdown with the Packers. And yeah, it would not be great if he's at less than 100%. He opens things up on the outside for everybody else. All of a sudden, Devontae Smith gets the second best cornerback on him, and Quez Watkins becomes more dangerous. And, you know, that trickle down effect of having that clear cut number one.
And particularly without Goddard now, it becomes more important. And the thing is, and he says it, I think it might be his Twitter handle, he's always open.
Oh, yeah.
And he's always open. What a great addition he has been. 215-592-9494. Warren in Gwynedd Valley starts us this morning. How are you doing, Warren?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Hey, Warren.
Didn't overeat?
I was pretty good this year.
I was too, Warren. I got to be honest.
I did not go back for third desserts.
It's really hard, but you have to go in with that mindset that you're just going to behave yourself and not do an A.J. Brown at the table when you see everything you want to eat. But
I will say this, Warren. Friday morning, I did have two slices of apple pie for breakfast. And I would argue that anybody who didn't have a similar breakfast must hate America. Just throwing that out there.
To be on your path, that's exactly what I had for breakfast, too.
There you go.
God bless the USA.
There you go.
Yep, apple pie.
That's your fruits. That's your basic food.
And football.
Yeah.
My issues with the Eagles are not structural, but they're rather the peripherals of injuries and also illness, if you want to throw in AJ today, penalties, and turnovers. Those three things seem to have been the three issues that have cropped up the most in the last 3 weeks.
Well, I'll take one. I'll let Mike take the others. The turnover thing, I think, is kind of a cyclical thing and sometimes a freakish thing. And their plus turnover ratio over the course of the first, whatever, seven games was just completely unrealistic. I mean, it was marvelous. It was great to see. And I'm not saying it's total sham, but it was skewed a little bit in their favor. So it's coming back down to earth. I think it will kind of – and some of those were kind of weird too, right? The Goddard fumble on the face mask really shouldn't have been a fumble. Okay. So I'm not worried about the turnover thing. I think they will continue to be plus on the turnovers. So I'm okay with that. What was the other ones he said?
Injuries.
Oh, and, well, yeah.
And so far they've danced through the raindrops on that, right? I mean, as important as Jordan Davis is to what they want to do defensively and as important as Dallas Goedert is to what they want to do offensively, those aren't absolutely gotta-have guys. It isn't Jalen Hurts. It isn't Jason Kelce. It isn't Lane Johnson or A.J. Brown. It isn't Darius Slay, although he hasn't played great the last couple of weeks. So, you know, has it been ideal? No, of course it hasn't. But teams are going to encounter injuries like that over the course of a 17-game
season.
Absolutely. So,
yep.
But you know what happens is, in combination of all three, it actually magnifies, you know, the offensive play. I'm not so concerned about the defense injury-wise or penalty-wise so far. But when the offense gets out of sequence and you're got third and 29 or something like that, you're just.
Yeah,
you're working much harder than you need to.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm not as worried about it. Warren, what is the best single thing you ate at Thanksgiving, by the way, since you brought it up?
I like sweet potatoes.
Uh-huh.
So I would say there was some sweet potato vegetable dish with some cheese.
With cheese? Oh, you do it different. All right. Stop. You're making me hungry. My wife does candied sweet potatoes with pineapple and pecans.
So
and brown sugar, which is phenomenal.
My wife did a sliced sweet potato dish that she used her mandolin for, and she sliced the potatoes so well that she took off the tip of her finger.
No!
And had to go...
Those things are dangerous.
Had to go to...
People don't know what the mandolin is, because it's not the musical instrument. It's,
right.
It's that little slicer that you make the really fine...
Yes.
Slices with. Yeah.
Yeah. So she spent yesterday morning in urgent care.
No. Oh, my goodness. That's not good.
Getting a tetanus shot and a butterfly bandage. And, but I give her all the credit.
That'll put a damper on it.
Glenn, she played hurt on Thanksgiving. At one point, you know, she suffered the injury and I helped her, you know, bandage it up and wrap it up. And at one point, she was standing in the kitchen, and this is a true story.
But she did this on Thursday, and she went to the urgent care Friday?
Yeah.
Oh, she really did play hurt.
Yeah. So at one point, she said in the kitchen, I need you to undress me. And I said, here? Now? Your parents are going to be here in an hour. And she said, no, the bandage. She still... you know, produced and cooked an amazing meal.
Good. So the best thing you ate was that
dish.
Yeah,
yes, because it there was such a cost exacted in preparing it too.
I'm not a dessert guy typically, but my wife makes a pumpkin cake with cream cheese frosting, which is my older son's favorite thing to eat. So she has to make it every year when he comes to town, and it was great.
I don't care.
Walnuts on and
I don't care for pumpkin. I don't care.
You don't
for
like
pumpkin.
The pumpkin?
No.
Oh, the pumpkin's so great.
No.
Mike is correct, by the way.
Thank you.
Pumpkin's not good.
No. Pumpkin is not good.
What are you guys, un-American? Hold on.
First of all, pumpkin in and of itself doesn't compare to apple pie or peach pie, cherry pie, any of the other kinds of pies. Secondly, pumpkin is everywhere now. It's in my coffee. It's in my beer. It's too much with us.
Let's back up and take these one at a time because you've gone to the polar extremes.
Yeah.
Pumpkin coffee, I have no use for. Those are not two things that go well together. Like peppermint coffee. It's like it's coffee. I'm okay with flavor in coffee. Mm-hmm. Amaretto coffee, whatever. You can do stuff with coffee, right? But pumpkin coffee is ugh.
Yes.
Pumpkin beer, son.
No.
I've done well with pumpkin beer over the years. Please don't take away my livelihood. Pumpkin beer sells because people like it and it's good. Pumpkin dessert. You don't like a pumpkin pie?
Not especially.
You don't like a pumpkin pie?
No. God, no. It's not sweet enough.
Yeah, I'm with Kyle.
Well, you're putting cinnamon on it and nutmeg on it and 8 tons of whipped cream on it. And
yeah, it's gross.
So it's just a vessel.
Gross. It's moved to gross.
Yeah, it's just a vessel for all the stuff you're putting on top of it.
That is correct.
It might as well be white bread.
You guys. Okay. All right. I can't argue. All right. What was the best thing you ate, Kyle, other than what?
I'm a major stuffing guy. My mom makes it with bacon.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Homemade pumpernickel. Sourdough. It's my favorite dish, of all time.
Actually, that sounds pretty good. 215-592-9494. Coming up, Mike Quick's going to join us, as we said, and we're going to talk about some great old games. We'll work on the other teams as well. And one other thing I want to mention, you and I have an event coming up.
We do.
Which is Wednesday, December 7th from 6:30 to 8:30 at Puddler's Kitchen and Tap in Bridgeport to start your holiday shopping. All right, here's the lineup. Books by Mike Sielski, Ray Dittinger, Zach Berman, me, swag from our friends at Scheibe Sports, Carl's Cards and Collectibles, and Hog Island Press, which is the charitable t-shirt company that Charlie Manuel is involved with. Actually, we're going to have Charlie as a guest next week on the show to discuss it. Plus, great beer. So it's any sports fan in your life, this is where you start the holiday shopping.
And Glenn is right about the great beer. It doesn't even have to be pumpkin beer. There's an array of choices there at Puddler's Kitchen and Tap, and they're all terrific, except for the pumpkin beer.
Yeah, we may be done with that anyway. But anyway, so if you have sports fans in your life, and it's like, I don't know, I got to get them something for Christmas, for Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, I got to get shopping. This is your chance. Wednesday, December 7th, 6:30 to 8:30, Puddler's Kitchen and Tap in Bridgeport for the great holiday shopping extravaganza. 3 DeKalb Street, right over the bridge from Norristown. 215-592-9494. Mike Sielski, Glenn Mack now, 94 WIP.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.